Welcome Builders from Lakeland, Florida. This is the Build Your Success Leadership Podcast with your host, Brian Brogen. We're going to empower and equip you to build yourself and then build others. Now, let's build up with your host, Brian Brogen.
Hello, Builders. We would love to welcome you to this episode of the Build Your Success Podcast. Here at the Build Your Success Podcast, we like to build you so you can build others. And we do that through our coaching, training, speaking events. We also do that through some amazing guests that we bring to the podcast. I am excited today to have Michelle Morris with us. She is an award-winning, internationally recognized speaker. She's a number one best-selling author, an intuitive leader, a wife and mother who has been stirring audiences and individuals into action through her compelling message of self-leadership, resilience, and living a life of intention. Welcome to the podcast today, Michelle.
Well, thank you for having me, Brian.
I am so excited. You and I have had a couple conversations now. I know you're going to bring your signature inspiring words to our podcast and have some influence over our listeners. So I'm grateful to have you today.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm going to ask you the question we ask all of our guests. What does leadership and being a leader mean to Michelle Morris?
Honestly, I'm shifting my definition because, knowing the way and showing the way kind of thing that John Maxwell says, but it's knowing the way and showing the way to yourself. That's what leadership is. Leadership starts within. If you cannot lead yourself through the correct and the right decisions for you and for your future, then how are you leading anyone else? I believe we're all leaders in different aspects, but number one, we must lead ourselves.
That is so great. I wholeheartedly agree. You know, if I'm going to lead anybody, I've got to lead myself first. And then I like to extend that to my family and friends. I mean, if I can't lead my children and my home, how can I lead others? So I just think that's a great way to look at it. And hey, try yourself out at first. That's a great place to start.
Yeah. If you can't listen to yourself, then you might want to wonder why other people aren't listening to you also.
Yeah, that's right. So Michelle, you have been through some difficulties in life. Of course, you know, many people have, but yours are some extreme cases. Tell our listeners a little bit about your background and then some of those challenges you faced early in life.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stay with the last 6 years. Okay. I don't think we have enough time on the show. in 2014, I used to run political campaigns and write speeches and things of that nature. I always thought my voice was for other people, to help other people fix their voices. So I wrote speeches for politicians. And in 2014 is when I was picking up my children from school and a car ran a stop sign and hit my car, totaled it. And then about 12 days later, I stopped walking and talking. And then for the next 2 years, 3 months, I did not move without assistance. And I randomly would speak gibberish. So, So for 2 years and 3 months, I was stuck in my head, fully cognizant and unable to communicate, gained a lot of weight. And when I came out of that, I'm really going really fast. When I came out of that, I worked my way back into walking and talking, feeding myself and taking care of myself, ended up doing a TEDx about living your best life while you can, because tomorrow's not promised. Basically, you're not dead yet, get up. And then I found out I had breast cancer, and that started me on a whole nother journey. And 240 pounds later, many, many speeches later, many podcasts later, and traveling around the world, and now I'm at 35 books. This is the woman who is standing in front of you, sitting in front of you.
Wow, that is amazing. Just the overcoming and resilience of that. Tell us about the frustrations you had when you weren't able to communicate with other, you know, you had your conscience, but you couldn't make verbal conversations.
Well, the frustration about it was, I know what it feels like to be cellophane. I mean, I was there, but no one knew I was there. So they talked around me and about me like I was a pillow on the chair. And that was very frustrating because, one, I know what it feels like not to be seen and not to be heard. So I'm very cognizant about that about people around me or the people I speak to, my clients and things of that nature, because I know what it feels like when someone doesn't hear me. That was ridiculously frustrating. And I think that's probably why I came out talking as much as I do is hear me. I didn't get to talk for so long. That was very frustrating. And to hear every inner critic that you've ever had argue with you and not be able to get away from them and not be able to, you know, people go exercise it away, drink it away, smoke it away, whatever they do. I had to sit there and listen to it. All the voices attack me. And I had to fight for myself. And I learned from that, and that's kind of where my coaching was built from. I learned that a lot of our inner thoughts that attack us when we feel low aren't attacking us. I actually wrote a book called It's Not Luck Overcoming You, but they're not attacking us to hold us back. They're challenging us to step up. And that's what shifted everything in my mind and everything I do. Being locked in my head changed the woman I was to the woman I am.
That is great, Michelle. I hear you talk about that being challenged. And that's all about mindset. You know, I've worked with people before and I feel like they're attacking my plan or attacking my ideas. But when I look at it and say, you know what, they're trying to help me, you know, poke holes in it, find ways, better ways to do this. You can all look at it in different minds and thinking about it from a different perspective. That is amazing. So in your application here, and those that are listening or watching this, we have an application process for our guests to come on. It really just sets the tone for the show, but that's at buildcs.net and our guest application. You can do that to come on the show. But Michelle said here, show up to everything we do as the best version of ourselves. I think you're a walking testimony of that, but I know there's got to be days when you say, you know what, this is difficult and hard and you have to press and move forward to show up the best version of yourself. Give us some ideas around that.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
I am helping my best friend from high school. So I'm in Kansas City. I canceled all my events. I canceled my retreat. I canceled a speaking event and I dropped everything to be with him. And so I am miserably sad right now, but I show up because other people need inspiration. And you're human. It's okay. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to say, you know what? Life is a little much right now. I need to back off for a little bit and reassess. And that's what I'm doing right now. I took 2 weeks to help him and be with him. And he's out doing some paperwork right now. So I said, Brian, we're definitely doing this. I'm on so that I can still be me and be here to help him. So there's this balance, not really a balance, more of a juggle when life hits you, when things hit you and you're like, I am so tired. One, I've been in much worse. So I'm a little more lenient on myself on being the best version of me. It's like, I will be the best version of me because I'm talking, I can move on my own. And, you know, I don't have cancer floating through my body right now. I've got other reasons to be happy. So I'm happy beyond all the other circumstances. And I think that's really the power that all of you can find in yourself is realize you've seen worse and you don't want to see worse. So don't challenge that and show up as the best you, because the only thing you can control in the chaos of the world is you. Byron Katie has a quote called, she says, there's three types of business in this world. There's my business, the other person's business, and God's business. Whenever you feel like you've lost control, it's because it's a myth. You've never had control. The only thing you can control is this, you, your heart, your mind. And I choose to control that. That's why I talk about resiliency and self-leadership. It's the only thing we can control in this world to keep our lives happy, to keep ourselves peaceful, and to be the best version of ourselves every day.
We hope you're enjoying today's podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Build Consulting Services. Are you ready to reduce workplace conflict, reduce employee turnover, and increase your productivity? If you're ready to put Brian to work for your company, give him a call at 863-800-9658 or email him at brianb@buildcs.net. Now, back to today's episode.
That's great, Michelle. And I hear you talk about, you know, helping others and being in the situation you were in and how now you have empathy for others and that resilience piece to come through these tests and trials and come through on the other side and be a little sharper because of it. Tell our listeners why that's important and how you just use your resiliency to be a better leader.
Well, I talk often about embracing the toddler in you, the younger mindset in you, because we as humans are built to fall. We come out of our mother screaming. It is not a nice, pleasant experience to come out, okay, into the cold. We get slapped on the butt. And as we start growing, you know, we have to cry for somebody to realize we're hungry. We crawl, we hit our faces, we pull up, we pull things on top of us trying to learn to stand up. We walk, we fall. We are meant to fall. As we get older, we forget that when we fall, we're supposed to get up. And really, that's the magic of it all. Get up, find your own way. If no one else has gone through this, make your own way. I mean, I'm a victim of a car accident. I have a traumatic brain injury. I'm missing four parts of my brain, my frontal lobe over my left ear, the back of my head, my two hemispheres disconnected. And then on top of that, they're telling me you have a 16-second memory. Oh, and by the way, you have breast cancer. You have 3 months to live. Boom. I mean, I could have just sat back and went, okay, God, take me now. And what ends up happening is you find that glimmer in every day. And what happened is every time I found a glimmer and moved towards that glimmer, the glimmer got bigger. And all these years later, I'm a walking, talking machine of everything I've been talking about. I tell people, be the best version of you. Get up. Be unapologetically you. Embrace every flaw. Love every flaw, every mistake, and learn from everything. And you will be the best version of you every day because you do consciously. Do not repeat what you don't like and repeat only what you like. That's how I live every day. And, you know, I won that John Maxwell Culture Award back in 2018 for a positive attitude. And back then when I got the award, I'm like, I don't understand it. Why would I get this award? And everyone's clapping. I'm talking to John on the stage. And now that I look back and I see everything I came through, at the moment, I didn't realize. I had a 16-second memory. So I didn't realize how much I had come through. Now that I look back, I do. It's the secret of success. When you fall, assess why you fell. Don't repeat what caused that. Repeat what got you to get back up and keep going. It's power. Accept who you are in everything you do.
Wow. Repeat what got you to get back up. Love that. That is a great message, and I'd love for some listeners to take away from this conversation today. You know, in this application, you got a little quote here that I love. It says, life is too short and precious to procrastinate. And you've already, you know, covered a lot of ground in the last 15 minutes here. But this whole piece about life being short and you recognizing that, you know, because of this accident and the condition you were in, tell our listeners, you know, why life is precious to you and then why we should not procrastinate.
Life is precious because the day I had my car accident, in the world of politics, the days do not end. I mean, I would wake up at 4 a.m. and I wouldn't go to bed till 2 a.m. I was lucky when I got the 2 hours of sleep. I was so consumed by other people's problems that I ignored my children. I made a chore list for them to take care of everything. And they were even making dinners because I was so out there working. The morning of my accident, the last thing I said to my children before I stopped speaking was, hurry up, you're late. Get out, you're late. Then that afternoon when I got hit by that car, I don't remember anything else. I was moving around for 12 days, but I don't remember any of it. So the last thing I said to my children was something mean. I didn't say I love you. I said, hurry up, you're late. I even put that nudge in them, you know, the world isn't waiting for you. You got to go kind of thing. And in those 2 years, 3 months that I did not move, I realized that life is far more important than hurry up. And I do not hurry up. It's part of my brain where I'm late. I got to go. But now it's like, I laugh about it. Hurry up. Because my thing is everything happens when it's supposed to happen. If you're running late, you're supposed to be running late. I mean, I was running late for that car to pick up my kids. When I got hit by the car, if I was there a millisecond earlier, I would have been hit at a different spot in my car and I'd be not here. Everything happens for some reason. Let it be. When you're running late and you didn't want to be, it's okay. Just let it go. So my the reason I say you have to just, oh my gosh, I just completely lost my thought. You had me thinking about my car accident. But yeah, it's just life's too precious to wait for tomorrow to do something. I did in under 4 years, everything I wanted to do in my first 47, 48 years of my life, that I kept waiting for my kids to get older, waiting for me to have X amount of money in my bank, waiting to drop that next 10 pounds. You're never promised tomorrow. And I learned very quickly from that car accident, all my tomorrows were gone and they talked around me like I would never talk and walk again. I watched what life would be like without me in it while sitting amongst it. Life's too short to play small. If you have an idea, God gives it to you because he wants you to move on it, not think about it for the next 20 years. Do it now. So everything I thought I couldn't do because I wasn't ready enough or I wasn't good enough. Oh, I'm a speaker, but I don't speak about that stuff and I've never done that before. Wait. Hit by a car, lost it all. Given a 16-second memory. The big gift in that was I know, even with a memory as short as mine is, I can succeed in the little things I wanted to do. So I kept doing it. In the 3 years they told me I was gonna die in 3 months with my breast cancer. At the end of the 3 months, I was living really hard, trying to do everything I wanted to do. Well, I did everything I wanted to do and I didn't die. So I created a whole bucket list, a new bucket list of what I wanted to do. And I'm on that list. I'm about done with that one. So what else am I gonna do? Tomorrow may not be promised. So I make plans for everything today.
You know, Michelle, this really resonates with me. We buried my stepbrother, 36 years old, last month, and I'm writing a blog article about how he inspired me. He was born with a rare bone degenerative disease and had countless surgeries, hospitalizations, near-death experiences from his birth all the way till 36 years old. I mean, and I sat at his funeral and they asked me to say a few things about Chuck. And I talked about how he was just stubborn, but I said he was also persistent. This young man, I call him my little buddy because he became my stepbrother when he was four and I was 14. And he became, as a wheelchair bound young man, hard hearing, he only had part of an ear. So his glasses had to be strapped on. And a lot of people looked at him funny because of that appearance, but he got his, bachelor's degree. He got his master's degree. He became a great fisherman. And I just watched all those photos with him and his family and fishing. And I was like, he lived life, even though he had 36 years, he lived life to its fullest. And it challenges me the things I could accomplish. You know, I'm 10 years older than he is. And he did more as far as education and other things than I have. And so it just inspired me. And like you said, it's so precious. I mean, life is so precious. And you see so many people that do have this resiliency and so many challenges, and yet they overcome and inspire us.
Like your brother, when we realize, you know, this is the life I've got, I'm going to live it. And that's the thing. I think that's what hardship is, a gift, because it makes you realize, wow, I am not going to live forever. I mean, I'm not invincible. I better do what I want to do. And so I'm not saying go out and be the best. You have to be the number one. No, there's no pressure. It's, if you want to go do it, go do it. Go do some version of it. And you'll never know how good you can do, or if it's not for you, until you at least go towards it. Go do it. I mean, really, like I told you, for 47 years of my life, I played smaller because I waited. I'm 53 and I've done everything I've wanted to do. The only thing I haven't done is jump out of an airplane. And that's because I've just said, you know, I've had 9 surgeries in a row since my breast cancer, my double mastectomy. So every 6 months they cut me open. My body hasn't completely healed that I can handle the G forces as I'm jumping out of an airplane. That's the only reason I haven't jumped out of an airplane, but I'm waiting.
the next thing on the bucket list. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, you have called yourself the conductor of clarity. I'd love for you to talk to our audience about the importance of clarity and how you became the conductor of clarity.
Well, I didn't know I was the conductor of clarity. One of my clients called me that. And what's cool about it is when he said it, I'm like, you're right. And this is his explanation. I'm an executive speaking coach. I sit there and I let someone else stand in front of me and they speak. And as they're speaking, I can hear and see their words, basically. I'm listening for inflection. I close my eyes and I'm usually hearing them move across the stage. And he says, when I'm doing this, I close my eyes and my hands kind of go up like I'm orchestrating. And I'll say, stop, go to the right, say that word again. Now say it with a little more oomph. Okay, do it again. And I let them start. He has, I conduct them on the stage like a music piece. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you're right. I do. That's why I'm the conductor of clarity. I take messages, however big they are, condense them down to like 3 seconds, 30 seconds, so that they can expand to 4-day lectures to back down to, hi, my name is, that kind of thing. I'm very good at honing a message down to the bare bones and then make it far more impactful with the less words than it was with all the other words.
That is great. And I know clarity is such an important thing. We have so many distractions, so many opportunities, you know, that we can actually be doing too many things at once. And so getting this clarity around what you should be doing and why you should be doing, I think is important. And to realize that you're the conductor of that, that is great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you mentioned a little bit about winning the John Maxwell DNA Culture Award. For those that don't know what that is, I'd love for you to explain a little bit about that and how you received that award for what you do.
Well, back when I got it, there was like about 8,000 coaches. And I got a notice saying that I got an award for the John Maxwell DNA Culture Award. Remember, I had a 16-second memory. I had no idea what it was. And so when I went to the John Maxwell conference, everyone was, you know, hugging me and congratulating me, and I had no idea what they were talking about. Then they brought me to this big wall where all of us with the awards, our faces were on there. We had, oh, it was just amazing. Well, anyways, the DNA Culture Awards are the values that implement or are part of the DNA of the John Maxwell team. And it's all the things off of his name. It's Maxwell DNA, right? And everything is associated to some quality. I had DNA. I had it's not A, it's attitude, but it's demonstrating positive attitude. And so I'm one of those. And John Maxwell's team always recognizes a group of individuals out of the team worldwide, not just people in this state, worldwide. And so when we won, we got to go on stage with John Maxwell and he interviewed us in front of 3,000 people in the room while we were live streaming to millions. And it was quite the honor to be recognized. And then the people that I was recognized amongst, we became like mini family inside of the John Maxwell family, but huge honor because we've got some high quality coaches in the John Maxwell team, and to be recognized as part of that cream is, wow, amazing. And then from that group of the John Maxwell, the DNA folks who won the Culture Award, there was one who won the overall, and that was just stellar. He was out of Valenzuela, but yeah, I hope I explained that. My brain's going all over the place right now.
You did. I just want to make sure for clarity, so some of the audience would understand what that really, because it's, you kind of brushed over it earlier, but that's a big deal.
It's huge.
And I think our team now is up to 40,000 coaches last time I heard. So that's just amazing to be a part of such a great team. And as you alluded to, for you to get an award as part of the cream of the crop, that's just fantastic. And kudos to you for that.
Thank you.
So if our listeners want to find out more about Michelle and more about what you do, where can they find you?
The best way, because I have a brain injury, my website is my name. It's everything. So Michelle Maras, MichelleMaras.com. Or if you want to like text me and all that other stuff, you can go to MichelleM360.com. And that will give you direct links to Facebook and all that other stuff and my text messaging. But my website's the place. You want to subscribe, because I think I give away a free PDF of one of my books. I've got like 30 something books. So you get a free gift when you do that and sign up, and then you can follow what's going on. And I've got albums coming out. I've got movies coming out. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, you are a busy person. We've been trying to schedule this podcast for a few months. So definitely we've been busy and we finally got it done. So I am grateful to have shared Michelle with our audience today. I thank you for listening to this podcast. Do me a favor, go to wherever you're listening to this podcast. Give us an honest rating review and share this podcast with others. I know Michelle gave us some great insights that you can share with your family and friends. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And remember to build yourself and build others.
Want to learn how to build yourself and build your team? Visit www.buildcs.net and learn about Brian's programs, special offers, and more. Build yourself and then build others.